Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, Every Patient's Advocate. Now, you know, listeners, as Every Patient's Advocate, I'm always in favor of learning. The more we learn, the smarter we patients can be. Each week, we have marvelous guests who explain what we need to know about various diseases or conditions or programs of interest. But as you know, I'm all about background knowledge, and sometimes there are basics we should know, so sometimes we're reluctant to ask questions because we think we should already know them. And today's topic is one of those, something we all think we should understand, but most of us are confused. The subject is Medicare and Medicaid, and I can see a lot of you out there nodding your heads thinking, yes, we're missing information. With me in the studio this morning to clarify these important subjects is Dr. David Duggan, Professor of Medicine and Oncologist from SUNY Upstate. Welcome, Dr. Duggan.
You've got nice to be here.
Big job in front of you explaining this to us. All right, we're going to start with the basics because I think a lot of people are confused between what's the difference between Medicare and Medicaid.
Okay, well, let's start with Medicare. Medicare is a program that was instituted during Lyndon Johnson's tenure as president, and it's designed to provide basic health care services to elderly Americans. Currently, you become eligible for Medicare when you turn 65.
Right, but even that's changing, isn't it?
That may be changing,
it's
yes.
Going it's going up to 66 up. And 67,
right.
Depending on when you were born.
That's right, that's right.
Didn't want to interrupt, but wanted to make that point.
But as we live longer, they have to, they're making changes for that.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for Medicare was that in the 50s and 60s, there were many, many elderly Americans who had no access to health care, no funds to pay for it, and we thought that this was a national tragedy. So the Medicare program was instituted, and Medicare now is the largest provider of health care in the United States. It provides care to primarily elderly Americans, I shouldn't use the word elderly because not everybody fits
closing
in that group.
Closing in.
Yeah. That's right, it is closing in every day. And Medicare provides a whole range of services. It is the major funder for graduate medical education in the country, as well as the means by which patients get their health care. It pays hospitals, it pays doctors, it pays for durable medical equipment, it pays for some other special programs, and it's a bellwether for all health care. As Medicare goes, so goes many other insurers.
Right, because they base a lot of their decisions on what Medicare is doing. And I want to make clear that when you say they're providing health care, what you mean is they're providing payment for health care.
Correct.
Right, they're
correct.
Not actually the doctors and
the providers
are standing there on the front lines.
They have relationships with independent physicians and hospitals and have a standard fee schedule and methods by which the program is administered, and it actually is administered at a fairly efficient way. It's about 2% of administrative costs
for
the Medicare program.
Which is really remarkable.
It's terrific.
And I also would like to make the point, and you can explain more about this, where the money comes from is that we pay into it throughout our working careers. It's
correct.
Not like taxes are the only thing, although they are part of it. But this money is coming from us as we are younger people and working, and then when we get older, we take advantage of it.
Correct. Correct. That leads to some of the problem as demographic shifts occur. We now have a large group of people heading towards Medicare age, baby boomers, and there are fewer working people following them. That's going to pose some stress on the system because there will be fewer people contributing to the system as a proportion of the people that are receiving care in the future.
Right, which also points out that it's not like the money was being saved for us. You know, we would like to think, with Social Security and Medicare, I think both, that as we put that money in, the government was hanging on to it for us till when we needed it. And that's not really how it's worked.
That's not the way it works for Medicare.
No.
Correct.
All right. While we're here, let's just make that distinction with Medicaid.
Okay.
Because I want to come back to the Medicare discussion. But let's make sure that people aren't confused between what the two programs are.
Okay. Well, the Medicaid program really is the descendant of the old women, infants, and children's kinds of support programs that were provided by the federal government. And it targets very specific populations who are not eligible for Medicare for the most part.
They're not old enough.
They're not old enough. Mm-hmm. And these include the care of children, people with disabilities. It includes some families who have limited revenues.
Mm-hmm.
Most commonly, it is a single parent, a mother, who's eligible for Medicaid, but it's a very different population than the Medicare program, and it's administered in a very different way. The Medicare program is administered by the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, CMS, and is a federal program. The Medicaid program is a joint program between the federal government and each state.
Mm-hmm.
So each state can provide different types of services. They need to have those services and that list and that menu approved by the federal government. So you'll find a wide variety in the way that Medicaid is administered in the various states. There is a revenue sharing program for that, so that the federal government provides some support to states for it, but the states have to come up with a lot of it, and states deal with that in very different ways.
Mm-hmm.
In some states, it's administered as a centralized program. In others, many of those costs are pushed out to counties and other local governments.
And that's what we have here.
And that's
what
we have here in New York State.
Right.
So that's why the counties are so concerned about rising Medicaid costs.
Right, because much of the balance is being shifted from Albany to the counties, and so even though they may be trying to balance the New York State budget, all they're really doing is shifting it to the counties. We're going to pay it one way or the other.
That's right. It's got to come out of some pocket.
Right. And let's also make the point that then Medicaid is used by people who have not paid into the system.
Correct.
It's not that they've spent a lifetime paying into the system. And so that's money that now we pay as good citizens to support the people who do not have the means we do. But we're also paying through our paychecks into Medicare, so we actually pay for both, even though we don't use them.
That's true. And when we think about the total cost of health care in the country, it's really substantial. Somewhere on the order of about 14% of the gross domestic product now goes towards health care costs in one way or another. Only a minority of that comes through federal programs, but it's a big minority.
It's a scary proposition, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's very interesting. All right, now we've made the distinction between what the two programs are, and I'd really like to not spend so much time on Medicaid. I'd like to shift back to Medicare because I think a lot of our listeners use Medicare or they're going to be eligible to within the next maybe 5-10 years, and I want to make sure that people kind of understand what the differences are. We hear Medicare Part A, Part B, Part C, Part D. Can you clarify for us what those are?
Yes, I can. Medicare Part A is primarily payment to hospitals, and they receive payment for inpatient services, and this is also the portion through which graduate medical education is funded. Medicare Part B is primarily for physician services, and if you see your physician in their office, they send a bill to Medicare, they get paid from Part B.
And let's also say A and B are taken care of for everyone once they turn whatever, 65, 66, whatever age they need to turn, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right.
We've heard a lot about Medicare Part D, which is the new drug provisions, and there's been a lot of controversy about that, but that's a new program that provides prescription drug coverage, partial prescription drug coverage for people that elect to take that.
Mm-hmm. All right. And Part C is the Advantage program.
Right.
And that's a huge question mark, isn't it?
That's a huge question mark. The Advantage program really is a contracting mechanism for Medicare to have private insurance companies provide Medicare coverage for eligible Americans.
Okay, who would take advantage of that?
Well, there's a lot of question as to who should take advantage about that. In the large part, when people who have participated in the Advantage program are asked about their experience, and that is compared to people that participate in the regular Medicare program, they see very little benefit to doing so. It does provide a little bit broader access to services that may not be available through strict Medicare, because an Advantage program can provide other services as long as the insurance company is willing to cover those costs.
Okay.
So there's some services that are not available in strict Medicare that are available. They may have different panels of physicians, but there's a minor difference in the numbers of physicians that participate in Advantage programs versus the Medicare program in general.
So I'm coming up on retirement age. I'm not. We're going to pretend we are.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I'm ever going to retire. But and I need to make a decision whether or not Medicare Advantage Part C is something that I'm interested in.
Uh-huh.
Part A I'm going to get regardless, but that's only going to pay for certain levels of care, and I want to cover those levels of care in a minute, all right?
Uh-huh.
Medicare Advantage is a private program that gives me those basic levels and might give me a little bit more, but I pay an extra fee for it, don't
Correct.
I?
All Correct. Right.
And that's where the question mark
is. That's where the question mark comes in. And I think that the most, the best information I can get, best advice I can give to you is to try to get some help from a professional that really understands the nuances here.
Absolutely.
This is extraordinarily difficult to do. Many of us, myself included, are at a point where we're trying to advise our parents on these things.
Yes.
And I'm a relatively sophisticated person in the healthcare system, and I find this terribly complicated. The language that is provided in the contract offers is very difficult to understand. It's wordy, it's lengthy, and unless you read the fine print, you really don't understand what you're getting.
Absolutely.
You may actually be limiting your ability to get some services in some of these Advantage plans. So mm-hmm. I think it's extraordinarily important that you talk to someone that really is expert.
Well, Dr. David Duggan, you have been immensely helpful, and we're running up against the news. I thank you so much for coming by this morning. Will you come back to continue the conversation?
Oh, I'd be delighted to.
That would be just great. Thanks so much. And listeners, we do need to take a break. Please do stay with us. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.